Welcome, dear listeners, to episode 37 of The Empty Rooms of Gorski Manor. Down the cellars we are traveling, through the realms of dreams, dreaming, and more. A most lovely old woman had welcomed us. "Stay a while, help me pick my crop," she invited. Sensing a softening in me, she offered me the little magic mushroom once again. Her purpose, here beneath the manor, growing and fueling the magical heart of the manor. The mushroom offered in silence. I trusted her, feeling herself true, a spirit of kindness and caring. This time I had accepted the mushroom, taking the teeniest, tiniest taste. Its flavor was nothing I have ever experienced. I have no words to describe it. At first, nothing seemed to happen. Then, sitting upon a large mushroom in front of me, appeared a young, blonde-haired girl of the 60s, who had not been there just a moment ago. She escorted me into a new place of dreams and more. My last remembered thought was, "I hope I will remember this."
Blue bottles hold spirits. Shall we go and find one?
I heard myself answer, "Yes, please." So polite I am, I thought, with a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. I couldn't seem to open my eyes, but that felt okay. I could smell bread baking, laced with cinnamon, maybe some pecans too. My mouth began to water. My stomach growled in agreement. One doesn't eat much here at the manor, I thought. Yes. Oh, now I remember. I am here in the manor. Or really beneath it. Mushrooms. Well, I felt something furry shake me, trying to wake me. Then it took my hand and patted it gently yet firmly. I could feel claws involved in this action. Still, I just could not seem to open my eyes. But no worries, though. I was fine with that, feeling fully into and in the moment. With a sigh, I tried to look around inside my head, there behind my eyes. I kept bouncing between the white dots that always greet me and a misty place with a purple sky and many, many falling stars streaking this way and that. I caught a shape move across my eyes, which brought me back into my head. A light source was blocked as something walked in front of me. I felt it come and snuggle against my side. Oh, it was so warm and cozy. I could smell a strong, musky smell. Very pleasant. I totally enjoyed it, breathing deeply. This scent actually started to clear my head. I got pulled back into the place of the purple sky. Amazing! Beautiful layers of all shades of purple, reminding me of Van Gogh's Starry Night painting, except with more falling stars crossing the sky. More than I have ever seen in my life. I think I've only seen two. I began to wander forward from where I stood. What I saw was not clear, yet there were things just out of my focus. I was very aware I was walking, yet I could still feel that warm, furry something snuggling against me, breathing in a soothing rhythm. I heard the tinkle of glass, felt a soft breeze find me and swirl me around, then with great strength push me to go in a different direction. I felt easy with this, like whatever, and let the breeze push me where it will. It was so very strong now. I was actually able to lean back into it without falling backwards, which I must say was rather fun. Then from nowhere, suddenly, in front of me was a tree that I almost bumped right into. Not a large one, more like a tall bush. And it was loaded with twisted branches, sprouting from smaller ones and then smaller and smaller. And these branches were all filled with cobalt blue bottles. And other bottles hung tied to the branches, too. A most curious sight. I watched, mesmerized, as one large falling star brightly crossed the sky, its white light caught in reflection within each bottle, causing a magical sight, like a wave of light. This reflective light was bright enough for me to just see movement within many of these bottles. I was stopped in my tracks as I tried to move closer when a burst of bright light made me cover my eyes and stagger backwards. I sat straight up with a start, waking the furry companion who had fallen asleep next to me. I felt so odd. Somewhat disorientated, yet fully aware, my eyes now crystal clear and focused in great contrast to the fogginess of where I had just been. Hester's magic mushrooms. Need I say more? I felt for the little tiny mushroom I had placed in my pocket. It was still there. Though as I looked around for Hester, she was gone, and I, not in her mushroom garden any longer, but sitting on a grassy hill. I tried to remember how I got here, but nothing came. I felt sad. I finally had taken a daring step, but whatever I experienced was not to be mine to recall, it seemed. Darn, I said with great disappointment. Hopefully it will surface sometime. I finally noticed the furry creature sitting next to me, watching me intently. I had been ignoring him with my internal grumblings. Badger! I shouted with surprise. Could it really be my badger? I opened my arms in gleeful, hopeful welcome. For he is a powerful and imposing sight. I thought I saw that twinkle of recognition in his eyes, but you can never be too sure here.
It is me,
he said with his slightly scary grin of sharp teeth, as he came to me and gave me a big loving hug.
I waited for you to wake,
he shared. How did you get here? Where are we? How long have I been out? I blurted and rambled these questions flooding from my thoughts, trying to drown my calmness.
You know, I will always be here for you when you need me. Guide you together in the lower worlds.
He explained.
You were so very easy to find. This is in between path from one realms to another. You have been out for 3 days. Hester sends her love. And thank you.
Thank you, Badger, I said. All my questions answered precisely as usual. My mind was clearing further, retaining my calm. Still regretful, I cannot remember the experience. Do you know why I can't remember? I asked him, hoping for more good information.
That be how it is. But you are meant to forget. That is how it is. It is unusual to wake and walk perfectly. The first time. You already know this. You know time is the key. New ways to grow. But over and over and over times.
Badger shared this information in his somewhat sharp way that he is prone to do. Oh, lots to think about always, I said, looking within.
Do not be so impatient. Time is always here at the manor.
I thought time is only in our earthly realm, I commented.
Precisely.
Badger agreed, getting up and starting to walk away. He done with the conversation. Is there some healing to be done? I asked him, gathering my things together quickly to follow him, letting that thread of thought gently unravel away, for he is also one of my healing guides.
You are correct,
he said with an I am proud of you for seeing that smile. As I fumbled and rushed to catch up to him, for he is a big badger, eye to eye with me, him having a big stride as he walks on 2 feet, just like I do.
Oh, shall we go?
He said, pointing to a tree that had not been there a moment ago. Hester said Feathers and Simon were waiting for me at the end of her path. Are they here somewhere? I rather miss them, I asked, looking around, hoping he would know. He scratched his ear in thought.
You made a turn. They await at the end of her gardens. But this we must do together, alone first. I promise to reunite you three when our task is complete.
Wonderful, I agreed. When we reached the tree, he looked to me and asked,
Which way do we go?
Before I could blurt out my first thought of, I don't know, instead I calmly said, Purple sky, blue bottle. I can get used to this new, calmer me.
So it shall be,
he said as he walked right into the tree. Most might think this odd, but I didn't bat an eye. My year at the manor, endless journeys prepared me to just go, and I did. Within the great tree we went. Inside this tree felt like home to me, as that is where I was originally born. Eons ago, when life was just starting on this planet, we all have an origin, birth of our spiritual higher self, who we truly are. But that is another tale for another day. Within the tree, one feels, one senses, one is. Just be and go where you feel drawn.
Thank you.
the tree we stood, Badger and I, deep within its protective embrace. Sycamore tree was this tree, much larger than any I have ever seen. I thought to my sycamore ally, always there, near my earthly cottage home, all her lovely sharing of her branches and leaves, her energy, her beauty, and ever-growing love between us. This ancient tree knew her and welcomed me as kin. He said he is the origin tree. I smiled with pleasure as my feeling had connected to that truth moments before. This tree now swirled slowly with mysticism. We glanced up into the branches, looking for the path to the purple sky and the blue bottle world. This tree offering its assistance to what we seek as a gateway. I took my time, feeling Badger's power, my shoulder against his, him waiting for me to lead the way. I watched for the sign that I knew would appear with patience. We did not have to wait long, for there it was, within one of the larger branches, a large tree hollow. That hole is the place we need to go. Badger saw it too, and we both moved together. How, I am not sure, as there we stood at its opening. Together we peeked inside. We both saw it at the same time. There to the left, in a little crevice in the wood, huddled, hiding, a shadow. I want to say it lurked there, but that is not right. More like waited, yes, waited and rested, seemed a kinder description. I felt the shadow needed compassion and understanding. We both entered the dark tree hole and stood before the shadow. "Do you need help?" I asked with care. We watched as it shifted and turned away from us, hiding its two little black eyes from us to see it. Badger whispered,
"It does not want our help. No."
Sometimes it does take some coaxing to help a lost spirit. But for now, we were headed to the purple sky realm. We whispered goodbye and walked on, deeper into this hollow's tunnel. All was black, silent and calm. The air was fresh and clean. Each breath a joy to inhale. Hints of herbs danced within each breath. After a lovely time, just wandering, we saw the purple glow shining in the distance. We came upon a crossroads of sort, our tunnel breaking off into four, one to the left, one right, one going upwards, and the one that caught our attention going down in a gentle slope. We did not hesitate and followed it to the opening and jumped right through. We hit the earth firmly, both turning to see from where we had come. What met us was a huge oak tree. We could see the hollow we had just exited from. It obviously connected to the hollow of the sycamore tree. How exciting, this new unknown discovery, as I had never traveled in this fashion before. What is this place? Do you know it, Badger? I asked, as we both enjoyed the tree's beauty and the beauty of its world, the sky of endless shades of purple, crossed by so many constantly falling stars of white. More huge trees stretched out from our oak tree, all in a row, flowing in both directions, each canopy of leaves just touching the other, flowing down this rolling hill. Beyond, a vista of moors stretching in all directions to distant, snow-capped mountains. I felt a deep, overwhelming sense of awe. Such a great expanse, here, right before me, shared with me. I thought of the rune Urus, the rune of endless open plains and spaces of greatness and grandeur. I looked up to the canopy of our majestic oak tree, searching, eager to see the cobalt blue bottles I had previously witnessed in my mushroom vision quest. But none hung there. These branches, being blanketed in beautiful, deep red and amber leaves, the tree I had seen being twisted and barren. I was about to ask Badger if he knew where that tree dwelled when he placed his finger to his lips for me to be silent and to listen, and I did. There, yes, there, far in the distance, I could just make out chanting. As it grew louder, the air changed. All had been silent. Now something had been awakened and stirred, the wind responding with a gentle yet urgent breeze. We both turned to the left, looking down the row of trees, down the hill to the source of the chanting. A grand ancient stone fence stood there, near to the first tree. From behind, just above the fence, we could see one dim candlelight moving slowly towards the trees in time with the chant. We watched as a hooded cloak figure, the color of midnight blue, walked forward, lantern held high, moving from the fence to the first tree. It stood before the trunk of this tree, held the lantern up higher, and waved a hand with symbols into the tree's heart to welcome another hooded figure who emerged from within the tree. This figure draped in a beautiful cloak of aubergine. This figure joined in the chant, raised its lantern in hand, both keeping their slow, steady pace to the next tree. I knew these cloaked figures were female, wise women. Tree by tree they intertwined, welcoming one by one a new figure to their procession. Along the whole row of trees they went, in their beautiful awakening ritual, weaving their energy, the tree's energy, and symbol magics together. A most humbling sight to witness. I felt so honored and hugged Badger's arm with emotion. They soon reached the last tree. I felt there were 14 of them, and silently counted as they circled this last tree, me so very eager to see what was to happen next. They turned in unison, flowing into a row, making a small circle around this oak's trunk, shoulder to shoulder, their chanting strong and powerful. They released their hoods, showing and confirming my feelings. 14 lovely women to behold, each shrouded in a different color robe, each with beautiful long hair, twisted with branches and leaves, each of these trees. The first woman, who stood taller than the rest, looked familiar to me. She turned to me and smiled. I know her. It is Frigg, wife of Odin, mother goddess of light, joy, and growth, vulva of Sather magic, feminine power of foresight. The 13 that attended her, her devoted handmaidens, Eir, Ula, Gethion, Na, Elim, Lofin, Saga, Shirfin, Snortra, Sin, Var, Vor, and Huldra. They raised their lanterns to the tree. Immediately, lights of cobalt blue burst into view. So many hanging and placed between and upon the ends of branches. One white light of energy within each, reminding me of the votive candles within a church, a sacred symbol of remembrance, devotion, and waters of lost tears. I began to feel heavy emotions rising within me, my eyes filling with tears to share and contribute to this doing. I could hear gentle cries come from the bottles, those within that had been lost, trapped here within, resting, allowing, forgetting, releasing their pain, waiting to go home. Badger whispered,
Lost souls.
Poor souls, confused, alone, disconnected. I heard the knowing share, this is the realm of their finding, called here by these healers, caught within the bottles by their own doing. Too lost and uncertain, they have become, no longer able to go on. Gathered here to be cleansed and released back into the light, back to their homes they yearn for, where they belong and are wanted. Badger whispered again. He moved to join the circle, him also a healer. They each set their lanterns at the base of the tree. each began drawing ancient symbols and runes into the tree's canopy, drawing down one by one each bottle, released from the care and tending of the tree, each purposefully floating down to the gentle awaiting hands that welcomed them. The blue hairs of Grandmother Tree Yggdrasil joined the ritual, forming one more protective circle behind the women, thumping their hind feet to the beat of the chant. The chant continued. Bells began to ring. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, and then ten again. The women whispered into the bottles special words each spirit yearned for. And together they chanted,
"Thy fig and the hairs go into the light. Time to go, time is right. Do not stay another night."
Each woman turned her bottle, opening upright, allowing the spirit soul to emerge. The winds joined in the ritual, coming from every direction, gathering spirits in a whirlwind, taking them home. I watched as each clear bottle was cleansed by a flower petal of blue, then returned to the tree to await a new visitor. Over and over they worked, bottle by bottle, the wind taking those that had been helped to their homes. Badger worked furiously with the women, his task more difficult, as some souls would not come out of the bottle. Grown too negative, they refused the assistance offered in love. These bottles were passed to Badger. He had his back to me, so I could not see what magic he cast. I felt a cold shiver run down my back each time he returned the now empty bottle to the woman who had given it to him. Finally, the last bottle was cleared and returned back to the tree. All went silent. One more chant was whispered.
"Hagalas, aga, Hagalas, aga, Hagalas, aga."
The hares dispersed quickly, running down the hill, going back to Yggdrasil. Frigg and her maidens returned their hoods to cover their heads. Each walked away slowly back to their tree. Frigg herself seemed to float down the hill to the ancient stone fence, disappearing behind it until all were gone, all in final silence. Badger stood there before the tree, gazing up into all the cleared and cleaned bottles, each dark within, each now empty for a time. I walked to him and gently touched his back. He turned to me and, placing his paws upon my shoulders, looked deeply into my eyes.
Now is your turn for healing.
Blessings and hugs, dear listeners.